What's up, y'all? This is Rommel Watley, and welcome to Truckin' Hustle, the podcast for truckin' entrepreneurs. If you want to learn about the trucking industry from the business side of things, you're in the right place. Every week, I interview the people who are making it happen on a daily basis. I get them to share their successes, their failures, and sometimes even their secrets. The goal is to show you how you too can create financial freedom in the booming trucking industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
He put me like $100,000 in debt. I mean, he stole my whole identity. It was a nightmare. Oh, any woman's worst nightmare. And I just realized, like, law enforcement will always be in my heart. You know, that's all I knew.
Right.
But I just always felt like I was always a boss.
Turn my mic up. Where you? Take there. Yeah, yeah. On the road to the riches. Life takes a toll like bridges. Good friends become foes and snitches. Better watch who knows in your business.
All right, Hustle Fam, we are back with another amazing episode. And today I am with Miss Kyra King from Prosper Logistics. Hello, Kyra, how are you?
How you doing? I'm well.
All right.
Happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, listen, first of all, welcome to Truck and Hustle.
Thank you.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
All right. So Prosper Logistics is a dispatch company. How long you been dispatching?
So I've been dispatching for 13 months now.
13 months. All right, cool. So you're new in the game.
Yep.
Right. And I just wanted to have this conversation with you because there's a lot of people that want to get into dispatching and you have a real story coming from law enforcement, correct?
Yes, sir.
Right. Got into dispatch and now you're killing it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Real people, real results.
Yes.
All right. So let's get into it. Let's start with your backstory, kind of, you know, learn about where you're from and just how you kind of got to where you're at today. So tell me about it. Where are you from, Kyra?
I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I was born, but I was raised in Atlanta, Georgia. So.
Okay, Chicago. How long did you live there?
I lived there for 5 years.
Till 5 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you...
Small age.
Barely really knew much about Chicago.
Yes,
and then you moved to Atlanta. Why'd your family move to Atlanta?
Oh, my mom wanted a better start in Chicago. As you know, it's not the best place to raise a family. So she moved south to Atlanta.
Okay, so what part of Atlanta do you move to?
We moved to Clayton County.
Clayton County.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how was it coming up for you?
It was really, really good. I was involved in sports and things, so I really stayed busy growing up. It was really nice.
What sports did you play?
Basketball.
Okay. So you're a ball player. What position?
Indeed. Point guard and shooting guard.
Were you nice?
I was nice.
Did you start?
I started.
Okay. So you played in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you take that into college?
I had a scholarship to go to play in college, but I decommitted right when we won the state championship.
You said you did what?
I decommitted.
Decommitted?
Yes. So I turned down the scholarship when we won the state championship in
Why?
High school. Because my coach, who has passed away, rest in peace, Coach Strickland, he was like a college coach. And I didn't want to go to college and have all my time taken because high school really drained us. So I said, you know, we won a state championship. I'm not going to take it to college. I'm just going to focus on my career.
Okay.
And that's what I did.
All right. And what was that career?
Law enforcement, criminal justice.
All right. So you studied law enforcement or criminal justice mm-hmm. in college. And then you graduated from college mm-hmm. and you became...
A police officer.
A police officer. Yep. All right. So tell me about that. What year is this that you become a police officer?
2015. I graduated and I graduated in May of 2015 from Valdosta State University and I went straight to the force in June.
Okay.
So I didn't take no break. I went head first.
Okay. Got you. tell me about that. Becoming a police officer. Is that what you wanted to be? A police officer?
I did. I know I had to gain the experience to become an FBI agent.
So that was your goal?
That was the overall goal. So I had to take the steps to get there.
Tell me about being a police officer. Are you in Clayton County as a police officer?
I went back to my community and policed. I did.
Tell me about it.
It was very challenging. It takes a lot of discipline, as you know. It was really tough. But protecting the citizens in Clayton County was really, really my priority. And that's what I went to work and I did every day.
What was the toughest parts about it?
Seeing things that I didn't want to see and having to keep my composure during those calls.
Wow.
You deal with a lot of things and you see a lot of things in law enforcement that they don't talk. A lot of people don't talk about.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the roughest things that you kind of seen or kind of went through.
Okay, so quick little story. I worked the night shift. It was from 10 to 6 a.m. And it was about 5:30. So I was just, you know, doing my little patrols. And I said, I get off at 6. I'm going to check some of the areas that need to be checked.
All right, guys, Truck and Hustle has now partnered with Transpo CFO, powered by Venning. Transpo CFO offers a streamlined monthly subscription for businesses to consolidate their accounting, payroll, and tax needs into one flat monthly rate, saving businesses a tremendous amount of time and money while making their financial operations much smoother for the long road ahead. Check out Transpo CFO in the description below and tell them Truck and Hustle sent you. Now let's get back to the show.
Some of the rough areas that needed police presence. And en route on that street, I ran into a car parked in the middle of the street. And I'm wondering, why is this car here? I'm like, oh, my God, I'm about to get off at 6. I'm going to get off late because this is a DUI. It's the first thing that I thought. So I went past. I drove past the vehicle. And I didn't see nobody originally in the vehicle. So I turned around and I made contact with the car. And it was actually a 17-year-old little boy shot a couple times. And he was begging for help. And I didn't know exactly what happened because I rolled up on it. And I didn't see anyone else around or anything like that. But I know I was the officer in the area. And right. It wasn't called in or anything. I just drove up on it, like I said. And at that moment, I pulled him out of the vehicle. I was putting pressure on his wounds. And he was still alive, begging me to keep him alive. Made contact with the our ambulance, and en route, he died to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
So that's a story that I would never, ever forget because I made a promise that he wasn't going to die, and he ended up dying. And a little after that, I was really wanting to be done with law enforcement. I couldn't mentally fathom that incident.
Yeah. Did you ever find out what happened in that particular situation?
Drugs.
Okay.
Yeah, he was shot. It was a bad drug transaction.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bad drug transaction. So is that typical for an officer? Like before you guys kind of get off, you just kind of scan different areas and just see what's going mm-hmm. on. Like, is that like a directive or is that something that you just do intuitively as an officer?
Yeah, that's something that I took initiative to do because I knew those areas were very rough and I needed to make sure that we weren't going to get no calls no time soon before, you know, my shift was complete.
Right.
So, just doing my last little roundabout.
Did you have a partner?
I did not.
Okay. Mm-mm. Did you ever have a partner?
That's TV. We don't. There is no partners. There's
some I'm in like living fantasy. It's funny you said that's mm-mm. TV because I'm like thinking of like CSI or something like that.
No, that's
there's always
TV.
Like a partner.
It depends on the incident. Most like detectives,
right?
Things like that ride together on certain cases, but. Patrol officer, there's no partners. You're out there by
got
yourself.
You. But when you see a situation, you always call in and like you call for other officers to back you up.
I was good for that.
Got you. So did you did that night?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Well, they were already en route because when I saw what I came up on, I was on the radio screaming like help.
Yeah.
Help now. I'm here. Drop my location over the radio and calls like that. They coming.
Yeah.
Everybody's coming.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of times police officers get a bad rap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times there's a lot of friction and conflict between the community and the police officers. Yeah. But in that particular case, you know, you're just out there trying to help.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm just trying to protect the streets and keep these young people, old people, whoever out of your house, you know, from just causing harm to anyone.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to be that asset in the community to help my community.
Yeah.
And that's what I served. And that's what I took pride in. And that's what took me, kept me going every day.
Gotcha.
To complete the job.
How many other female officers were did you work with?
On my shift, it was about one or two.
Okay.
But it never was a lot.
Okay.
It never was a lie. I was always the one.
Kind of the one?
Yeah, and all the guys looked out for the women. So
you didn't really have, like, a mentor in terms of, like, policing, like, a woman, another woman, nothing like that?
It's kind
of
like
just a woman amongst a bunch of men.
Yes.
Kind of like in a male-dominated type of deal.
And stood my ground. Most definitely stood my ground.
What do you have to do to stand your ground?
Just let them know that you're gonna respect me.
Right.
You know, yes, I'm a woman and I'm small and short. And in this field, they expect you to be a certain weight and they want you to look like the police. I didn't look like the police.
Right.
I didn't come to work looking like the police. But I let them know I can do the job just like you guys can. I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're bigger than me, stronger than me. I can be able to stick right with you guys and make sure all of us get home safely at the end of the shift.
I love that. All right, cool. So you have that situation happen, which is obviously traumatic. How long do you stay in the force after that?
It was about a year and a half. They end up promoting me
to
detective like 2 months later. And I'm like, okay, let me just see how it is as a detective. And I'll stay for a little longer. So after that, I stayed for like a year and a half
so as now, a detective. As a detective, what is the difference now in your job?
So now I'm admin. Okay. So I'm behind the
paperwork.
Desk.
Mm-hmm. You're paper pushing.
Yep. I'm at the headquarters doing administrative work.
So. How is that looked at in the force? Is that most people aspire to become detective? Or is it like, do the officers look at detective as like, you guys ain't really doing real work? Where, you know what I mean? Like, what,
no, it's
how,
work.
Well, you know what I mean? Because everybody look, because, you know, internally, they may look at the officers, may look at the detectives and say, mm-hmm. well, you know, we're out here in the streets.
Mm-hmm,
and then detectives, you guys are outside pushing paper.
Indeed.
So how was it looked at? What's the dynamic in there in the force?
So it wasn't really a division between, you know, officers and detectives and anything like that. I think far as the police officer's mindset, we always just wanted to climb the ladder.
Okay.
You know, all of us really wanted to become sergeants and lieutenants and majors and deputies and chief, you know. That's what we strived for out there. Yes, we did protect the community, but all of us definitely wanted to climb the ladder.
Okay.
And reach our full potential in the department.
And you said you got promoted. So how do you get promoted?
They go by your work ethic.
Okay.
So I was really proactive. Not so much that I wanted to prove a point. I just did my job. And I got promoted my third year of being at the department. A lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people did, but that was not my issue to address.
Right.
I just did my job.
Okay, got you. So you become detective, and then what happens?
I came a detective, and I saw how it was ran firsthand at our headquarters, and it really didn't fit.
What does that
mean? At that point, I realized it wasn't for me anymore.
But what do you mean by how it was ran? Like, you felt as
it
though,
was a
like,
lot of in-house things that I saw firsthand that I didn't see when I was on the street. Because I was on the street. I didn't know the things that were going on in-house. And once I experienced that,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, it's already a rough job.
Right.
And now I'm promoted. And you would think when you get promoted, things will get better. Or you will see... you'll be a little more connected to the department because you're on the floor or in the building with the higher ups.
Yeah.
And it was just not for me.
So was this in relation to how they treat other officers or like things that's going on in the street? Like what type of, you know, things are you seeing that you don't like?
Both. So I filed a complaint on one of the lieutenants on how he addressed a call that I was on with him one time. And that went okay. And then I just saw how they were treating other people, both on the street and in-house, and I just could not stand for it. I did as long as I could. And I remember calling my mom, like, Mom, I'm about to quit. And she's like, do not quit unless you have a plan. I'm like, Mom, I'm stepping out on faith. I step out on faith a lot. I really do. I step out on faith a lot. And I just told her, I'm going to be all right. I can't do it. Because I was already still battling, you know, what I faced on the street.
Yeah.
And it was hard. You know, it was very, very hard. I took counseling and things like that, and it wasn't really working. And then, you know, once I got promoted, still was just not it. So I left.
Got you. As an officer, what was the most you ever got paid? As an officer? Like, what was your starting salary and where'd you end at?
So I started out at $40,000 and I ended at $55,000 when I left.
Okay.
I was getting paid as a detective, of course. It was a little more. And then you have the part-time gigs, of course, that you can get paid extra for. So it was decent money. It was decent money, but it just wasn't worth me.
What's like the top ranking officers get paid in the police department?
You can make six figures.
Six figures?
Yeah, you can make six figures. Probably a deputy chief or a chief all the way up.
Okay. And you're like 100 plus.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Got you. All right. So you make the decision to quit the force. Do you just quit kind of cold turkey? Tell me about that day that you decided to quit, or how did you kind of get out?
I called off.
Okay.
And
never came back.
I called off. I took FMLA because I just needed to get my mind right, especially facing that death that I witnessed on the street that night. And I needed to take FMLA to get my mind right. I take my mental health very, very seriously. And I know when it's time to back up and take the steps that I need to take to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And I did that. And during that time, I spoke with my mom. I spoke with my family and I let them know because they were very proud of me being young and promoted and things like that.
How old were you when you got promoted to detective?
I was 25.
25?
Yeah,
that's extremely young.
Yeah, I was 25. So I let her know, and she's like, you know, just have a plan. And at that moment, I didn't have a plan. But I wrote my 2 weeks up, and I told them I was out.
Okay.
And I did not have a plan. I went for like a week or two without a job, and then I ended up getting hired at a little security spot. And I just thugged it into.
Thugged it out, huh? Yeah. All right. So you leave the force as a detective making $55,000 a year. You become a security guard somewhere. Mm-hmm. Just like kind of part time or whatever sector. In the private mm-hmm. sector. Yep. Okay. And now you start trying to think about what's the next move. Mm-hmm. So tell me about what happens next.
So then I end up working downtown with the victim services. So I always stayed in law enforcement. I just was not in the force front hand. So I was working there, and I just realized, like, law enforcement will always be in my heart. You know, that's all I knew.
Right.
But I just always felt like I was always a boss. I just always felt like I was the CEO and I was the person to make the calls.
Okay.
So, but I never really executed on it. I never had a reason to. And then I ended up having a reason to.
Okay.
And then this is how Together We Were Prosper Logistics came about.
Okay. So tell me about how that came about. Why the interest in the trucking industry? And let's put some context around it. What year is this? What's going on during this time?
So at this point, and I made the decision to tell my story because it's my story. In 2021, I never thought about trucking. That never, ever crossed my mind because I'm law enforcement, right?
Right.
And I was always taught to go to school, get a good job, go up the ranks, you know, put things in place, have a secure job and things like that so I can be okay. So I never thought about entrepreneurship. But I always knew I could possibly try it out. So in 2021, I was in a situation where I was in a relationship with someone and I married him and I found out that he was a totally, completely fraud. And at this point, I was 6 months pregnant with my daughter, Lyric Noelle. And I'm like, okay, I just found this out. He put me like $100,000 in debt. I mean, he stole my whole identity. It was a nightmare. Oh, any woman's worst nightmare. And that's where I was at. And I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I got this baby on the way. I'm embarrassed because now I have to tell my family that this man was a complete fraud after we just had this beautiful wedding. What am I going to do? I mean, his whole family, everyone was in on it, on this.
Was in on the fraud?
Yes. It's crazy.
So there's something like he does this to women?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I was, yes. So
he's from the U.S.?
He's from the U.S.
I'm not trying to be from the U.S. saying who raised this guy. I'm just playing.
They all and the whole family was in on it. And you would think me being a detective, how did I ignore the red flags?
Sniff that out real quick.
But I ignored all the red flags. I turned all the red flags green. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Everyone saw it but me. And at this point, I'm six months pregnant, and this is my second child. So I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't get any government assistance. I don't get food stamps. I don't get CAPS. I don't get any of that stuff. You know, and I'm a single mother who works hard, you know, and sometimes it's still not enough. So now I have the second baby on the way, and I'm like, what am I going to do? So I remember sitting on my sister's couch because I moved out. I left. I found out he was a fraud. You know, my family, everyone found out. I moved out. Stayed with my sister for a little bit, and I was on the couch, and I was just crying so hard. I'm like, what am I going to do? I can't afford another baby, like, and she's about to be here in, like, 3 months. You know, like, what am I going to do? And she was like, let's get a paper out. Let's go over your bills and what you get paid. And when we did that, I had the worst anxiety attack because it wasn't enough.
Right.
I was actually short, like, $600.
Right.
You know, calculating daycare and my rent and things like that. And we both looked at each other, and she said, "Kyra, you're gonna have to figure it out." She's an entrepreneur, so right. She was already like, "You're gonna have to figure it out. That's the only way to do it."
Yeah.
So I'm like, "I don't know. I don't have a talent. Basketball was my talent, you know. And I can't go to the WNBA now, you know. Like that, I don't have a talent, you know." And she's like, "Yes, you do. Like you're a boss. You've been a boss. Like take that same mentality and put it into your own thing." And I'm like, well, I still don't know. So I stayed with her, and I'm just thinking every day, like, I got to do something. This little girl get here in 3 months, and I'm $600 short. You know, I'm $600 short.
Right.
So I was on her couch one day, and Alex, Good Energy, his video came.
Okay.
Shout out to Instagram. Yes, shout out to Alex, indeed. I was sitting on the couch, and I saw his video, "You Can Make Such and Such from Home." And I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, But I see this video.
Good. It sounded good for you.
And
I
went to
time.
His page. You know, I'm like scouting it out. Like, you know, let me see if it's legit. Like, trucking. I never really, you know. And I saw how much the course was. I didn't even care.
Right.
I'm like, you know, if it worked for him, let me see if it can work for me. I'm a hustler.
Okay.
You know, and you're promoting that you're giving the blueprint. So a hustler meet the blueprint. That's on my way to millions, just like you. So let me follow your blueprint because it worked for you.
Okay.
So I did.
Okay.
I took the course. I finished it in about 2 weeks. And the first day that I got on there, I was addicted. I was like, this is so tight. Like, I can definitely do this. I'm a people person. I'm cool. I'm down to earth. And I'm a hustler, you know?
Right.
And I did. And I had a friend who was actually used to work for me at the police department. She quit and she started her trucking business. So me and her was in touch. And I'm like, look, I'm about to take this dispatching course. When I completed it, let me dispatch your truck.
Okay.
And she was like, okay, good. Just go ahead, you know, educate yourself first. And then, you know, we'll try it out. And I completed that course. And she was my first carrier, and she referred someone, they referred someone. I went out to truck stops, they referred someone, and then before my eyes, I'm like, oh my God, I need help. Like, it actually worked,
yeah.
You know, it actually worked, and I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful because if you guys would have saw the space that I was in last year mentally when I found all that out and yeah. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I'm not the type of person to ask anyone for anything. I don't care if I have 2 cents to my name. You're not going to ever know that I have it because I'm not going to ask you for anything.
Right.
So being a person of pride, it was really hard. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So when I found out and this ended up working, I said, okay, well, now I have to be fine.
Yeah.
Now I got to figure out how to get more and present other opportunities for these carriers to make more money, because if they're making money, my business is still going to flow. So that's what I did. I started seeking out other opportunities for them to make money, and
okay.
It worked.
Okay. All right, let's backtrack a little bit. Let's talk about just getting started in this brand new industry, mm-hmm. right? Because there's a lot of people who are in your shoes probably right now looking at this video and they're saying, all right, that's all that sounds good, right? Mm-hmm. But like, how did you really do it, right? So day one, you take the course,
mm-hmm.
you educate yourself on the industry on a high level,
mm-hmm.
right? And then what do? You, to get your company started, you said you connected with a friend who had a trucking company. So you start dispatching
mm-hmm.
her trucks.
I start. Mm-hmm.
Right. So why did she trust you to dispatch her trucks, number one? And how did you go about, you know, understanding the load boards, the lane? Like, how did you mm-hmm. gain that knowledge to be able to, in effect, run you know, somebody's business.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that, like those initial steps.
So as I said, taking the course, it literally gives you A to Z. Literally.
Right.
You know, and that's what Alex points out. I'm giving you the blueprint, but it's up to you to execute.
Okay.
So in the course, literally, I followed every step. I followed every single step. And then soon after that, they had a conference. I went to the conference. I connected with individuals at the conference, and I put my feet on the ground and I ran with it.
Got you. But talk to me about those actual steps though. Like, so when you connect with them, like talk about getting on the load boards, connecting
okay.
with carriers, stuff like
okay.
that. Go deeper into
okay.
it.
Okay. So once I actually hopped out there,
yeah.
I got on the load board and I was on the phone with different brokers all day. I mean, I get up at like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning starting to have her be able to get running early. And once I started talking to these brokers every day, they start becoming my friend. They knew me. And I would always ask every time I get off the load board, I always ask, can I have your personal number? Can I have a number I can reach you at? You know, a good email, 2 different emails that I can reach you at. And I always just stayed in touch with certain amount of brokers. So it got to the point where I wasn't on the load board anymore.
Okay.
They'll call me, hey, King, do you have a truck in this area? And I would, because we would have already ran that lane. So I started developing relationships. And that's how my company grew.
Okay.
I was able to still keep the carriers' trucks moving due to the relationships that I had gained.
Who was dispatching her trucks prior to you partnering up with her?
She had another dispatcher. I'm not sure
okay.
who exactly it was, but she definitely had another dispatcher.
Okay.
And they weren't keeping her moving. She was still having to like fill out things and still run her truck. I'm like, no, I'll take care of all that. I'll fill out the carrier packets. I'll do all your admin work. Just worry about you and your driver and we good.
How many trucks did she have?
She had one.
Okay. She had one star. So you started with one truck. Mm-hmm. What type of lane did you start that truck on?
So they always wanted to go southeast, not really too much north. So Texas, Houston area, Dallas, things like that. They love Texas.
Okay.
So they ran that for a couple months.
Okay. What type of freight were they doing?
So they were doing all type of freight. It was different commodities. Just okay. Different commodities. It always differ.
Did they have a trailer or?
So she started off with a box truck.
Okay.
Yeah, I started getting my semis with referrals.
Okay. Okay. So you were dispatching a box truck.
My first one. Yep. That was okay. My first carrier was a box truck.
Okay. Your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are you doing? Like partial loads? Like on the
no,
box?
No, we're doing full. We're doing full.
Okay.
Loads.
Full loads on the box truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. But you're doing like over the road.
Yeah, she was going over the road.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't take no box trucks unless they go over the road.
Sense. Was it difficult dispatching the box trucks, like finding the loads? Because I know there's not a lot of freight for box trucks, at least as much in comparison to the semi trucks.
So a lot of people would say that it was harder, but we didn't have any problems.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't have any problems. They were making good money. And like I said, the relationships that I gained, they were able to keep. Okay. At a good rate per week.
What type of money were you able to make her?
So she was making close to like $8,000 a week with her box truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got you. So when you started, like what were you charging?
10%.
So you're charging 10%.
I was charging 10% of each load that I booked for you.
Okay. All right. Got you. So you're charging 10%. She's rolling. Then you said you start getting like word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
You start building.
That was the best marketing for me. that just worked out for my company. It might be different for others, but that's how I grew.
Okay, so this is basically like her telling her friends or whatever
yes,
the case may be.
Yes.
All right, so the next company you start working for, is that box truck also? Or is that?
It was a semi.
Okay.
It was a
semi. So what type of company were they?
So they were a transportation company.
No, I know. I'm saying like what type of freight did they carry? Were like they drive-in?
It was different. Yeah, it was all drive-in. Drive-in. It wasn't a reefer trailer. It was drive-in. So it always varied. Aircraft, equipment, it just always varied.
Okay. Okay, got you. And then you start growing the company. So tell me about growing and getting more trucks and more mm-hmm. carriers and so forth.
So my carriers start growing. They start growing their fleet. So that's more trucks for me to dispatch.
Right.
One of my carriers, she bought a semi. She bought another one. Then she bought another one. And I run my business really family oriented. So I always try to look out for them. If they're coming through Atlanta, I meet them at the truck stop. That was another little gym Alex dropped. I meet them at the truck stop, give them gifts, give them breakfast, you know, let them know if you need anything, I can help you to the best of my ability. So I just gained good relationships with my carriers, and they just trusted me, and we just worked together. Our whole motto is it has to make sense for everybody.
Gotcha.
It has to make sense for me. It has to make sense for you. It has to make sense for the driver. So that's like the motto of how we work.
Okay, and you said you started doing things to make additional to add more value to their businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
So with that, I end up getting in contact with one of my best friend's cousin. She reached out to me and she said, you dispatch freight. And I'm like, yeah. She was like, do you know anything about household goods? And I'm like, nah, I only got the blueprint, you know, for dispatching freight loads. And she was like, well, she presented an opportunity to me with her brokerage. It was household, like two men in a truck. So my carriers started getting on to that, too.
Okay.
So we were, like, tackling both.
Like moving?
Mm-hmm. Moving okay. customers and things like that. So
okay.
they'll do freight going up and a household load coming down. I mean, they were just knocking it out. Of course, you have to add that to your authority. So I got them all to add household goods to their authority. And we were just yo-yoing it back and forth. And they were loving it.
Okay. Do most of your carriers have their own trailers, or do you do power only, or how do you normally operate?
So I would say half of them have their own trailer and half run power only.
Okay.
Which is okay because a lot of them work the ports.
Okay. Yeah. Got you. So your power only guys, the people, they do port?
They're on the ports.
Port work.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you say the majority of your work comes from?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what type of commodities is a majority, like port stuff or?
Yeah, just different port loads and
okay.
stuff like that.
Okay, got you. All right, so now talk to me about like kind of where you're at as far as the business now. How many trucks do you dispatch, and kind of tell me how you like grew the team out?
Okay, so I'm at 16 active contracts. I work with 20, but some of the carriers have sat down because of the industry. I want to say, so I have 16 active trucks running as of today.
Okay.
And a lot of those came from different marketing strategies that I did, going to truck stops, Facebook groups and things like that. But like I said, majority of them came from word of mouth.
16 active carriers?
Mm-hmm. Owner operators.
Okay, so but not like a company with multiple trucks. So 16 individual 16, carriers.
Yep.
Okay, how many trucks are you dispatching?
It's about 19.
Okay.
19, so one
most,
of my carriers
most of them
has.
Are like one truck, and then maybe mm-hmm. maybe yeah. somebody has like two trucks or yeah. whatever the case may be. How do you manage all those trucks?
I have a team.
Okay.
Yep.
Tell me about growing your team, building your team. Who did you reach out to? Tell me about mm-hmm. that process.
So I'm like, okay, I need help. Because at one point I was doing everything by myself, and I was scared to trust people because the reason why I started my business was so sensitive, and I didn't want it. I couldn't lose it because I this has to work, you know.
Right.
So I started reaching out to individuals who also took the course or have taken or dispatching course, and I asked them, they mind helping me because a lot of people weren't able to get carriers very quickly,
yeah,
or keep them or just didn't have a lot, so they had time. So I reached out to those individuals and I asked them to help me, and they did. They came aboard. And we're amazing. We knock it out. We work hard together. We give different ideas, different strategies on how to keep these trucks moving, and it just worked.
So how many people are on the team?
So I have four.
Okay, four people on the team. And how do you compensate them? Like, how do you guys split the profits?
The cost or whatever,
yeah.
I pay out 4% of each load that they book.
Okay.
And then my assistant, I have a set rate of what I pay my assistant to help.
Okay.
She does like all my marketing and social media.
Are you still charging 10%?
I am not because of the market. So okay. I dropped it down to 8% for it to make sense for everyone.
Okay. And how has that been? The carriers are kind of responded to that? That's
yes,
worked for
yes,
everybody?
Yes. They're very appreciative to that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about, like, you know, a lot that they talk about in the industry, like the kind of beast between brokers and dispatchers and all that? Like, some brokers feel as though dispatchers, there's not a actual, you know,
yeah.
thing, because you should have an authority. Like, mm-hmm. what do you think about that?
So my overall goal anyway is Prosper Logistics is turning into a brokerage
okay.
anyway, because I want to counsel out the middleman myself.
Okay.
But and some relationships I do counsel out the middleman, but I just want more. I really don't get into the
back and forth.
Yeah, I stay in my lane and I do my best for my carriers, and I try to reach my full potential and helping their business continue to run efficiently. So all that outside stuff, I don't have time
right.
for it anyway. I'm busy trying to better my business.
Got you.
And go to the next level. I don't really get into the outside talk. I don't have time.
Could you give us some like dispatch tips or tricks for somebody who's getting started in the industry? Some things that kind of helped you get started, helped you, you know, I know you said a lot of your carriers came from word of mouth. But you did say you kind of had some other marketing strategies to kind of mm-hmm. build your carrier base. Can you kind of talk about some of those other tips that, and maybe like, you know, something that people aren't thinking about, like, you know, some little jewel
yeah. that
you drop for the Hustle fam.
Okay. So some of the things that I do in running my business, like I said, I treat my business very family oriented. So I treat those owner operators and drivers as if they are family. Okay. Because I know they have family to feed, and so do I. So certain things, I always try to get feedback. I have this thing where I send out every Friday to different owners. It's called the Prosper Care Survey. And what the Prosper Care Survey is it's asking you weekly, every Friday, we send them out. Did we reach a quota? You know, what can we do better? Did we communicate good? You know, did we help you reach your potential within your business? And we take those surveys and we try to do better for the following week if there is any issues. So my take on that is just getting feedback from the carriers to make sure that you are doing or you are reaching your full potential and running their business.
Got you. What's a typical quota for you? What do you like to see your carriers making, and, you know, and prior to what we're going through now, like, how is, you know, the fuel and everything kind of impacting, you know,
so
your numbers now?
So the semis, I try to get them at least minimum 10,000 a week or more. With the box trucks, it's roughly between 7 and 8 weekly.
Okay.
That's the minimum of what I try. So okay. When my team come together and we meet, those are the numbers that we're looking at. Like, what lanes are good to run? Ohio is one, things like that. So we just try to keep our carriers in the areas that they want, but we also let them know the areas that they need to go to try to make what they want, because they let us know what they want to make a week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We try to stay within that.
Got you. Are you guys typically like dropping and picking up every day, or are you doing like less less pickups, like maybe like three a day? Or how does your week look typically for your carriers?
So a lot of my carriers are over the road. Okay. So it's one pick a day.
Okay.
Yeah, unless they have a partial load that they're picking up en route or things like that.
Okay.
But for majority, it's one pick a day because they're over the road.
Okay. And has fuel and everything impacted your business at all? Like how the carriers are responding to you? Fuel prices, spot market. Are you still working on the spot market at all? Or do you have all dedicated contracts?
I have some of them are on dedicated and some of them are, I'm still on the low board for okay. those. Yeah.
So but how has that impacted your business?
I haven't seen the drop. I did have a few carriers that sat down because trucking is not their main business.
Okay. They were like kind of like investors. Or
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have sat, but I haven't lost a lot of carriers and okay. anything like that. I'm actually gaining carriers. I okay. have two that's supposed to be starting Monday, tomorrow.
Okay.
So, the contracts that I have on, we have a contract with Food Lion and then we work with ARL Logistics. So they add all the fuel in and things like that. The carriers don't go over 500 miles. So it's making sense. And with that, I also dropped my percentage to okay. 10 from 8. So it's just working out. It makes sense.
Do you offer any other like services like any compliance or anything like that to help the carriers as well? Mm-hmm. Or is it just strictly dispatching?
No, I also offer safety and compliance. I assist with that. Carriers that are looking to hire drivers, I also assist with that. I sit in on their interviews with them on Zoom. I also do pull MVR records for when they're hiring drivers. We pull the MVR records. We do background checks, and that's about it.
Okay, is that something that you had to you upcharge on as far as a service fee? Is that something that's all bundled into the 8% that you're charging?
So no, that's a separate fee.
Okay,
that's a separate fee.
So how do you kind of charge that? Tell me about that pay structure. Like, let's say you want to help them with hiring or help them with pulling MVRs. Like, how do you do that?
So I definitely give them that option if okay. they want to go through us since yeah. we're already dispatching them.
Yeah.
So I give them that option, but that's a totally different fee.
Okay. Okay.
So they pay separate for that.
So you have 16 different carriers now. Where do you want to grow this thing to? What's your goal? What are you looking like in the next?
I have no cap.
Okay.
I have no cap right now.
Okay.
I do not. And I don't want a cap. I want to keep growing. I want to keep growing my team. So that's the overall goal.
So just to get as big as possible.
I want to get as big as possible.
So right now you have four people on the team dispatching for you. And you have
three dispatching and one assistant.
Three dispatching, one assistant. Okay. So now that you're here and, you know, you're a boss, you finally become who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, your sister said you're a boss. Tell me about that, man. How does it feel to arrive in this space now and, you know, kind of looking back on your past and everything you've been through? Just tell me about like your emotions and when you kind of look back at things.
So I'm very thankful that I went through what I went through because a lot of people are like, do you think you'll be here if you went through that? Like I said, I always knew I was a boss, but I never really executed what I knew my fullest potential was because I was comfortable.
Right.
But then I ended up getting into a situation that I became uncomfortable and I had to make a move. So being in this space is very, very life changing and I'm enjoying it. I love networking with people. I love going to different events. I love the industry now. Every day I'm trying to learn more because I'm still freshly new. I've only been doing this for 13 months,
yeah.
So I'm still new. So every day I'm just trying to see what conference I can go to, what book I can read, you know, who's on live today dropping gems. You know, I'm always just trying to expand my knowledge in the industry so I can grow and reach my full potential within my lane.
Got you. What's the best week you had dispatching in terms of revenue? That you could remember or what's the week that you had that made you like really say, oh, wow, I like this. This is for me.
I don't even remember because every week I'm just like, dang, I'm really doing this.
Did you start making money as soon as you started dispatching?
Mm-hmm. I was only dispatching one truck. It was
right.
a box truck.
So at what point did you feel like you were making money and how much was that?
When I needed help and I started clearing, like what was I clearing weekly, like
yeah.
coming
yeah.
to me. Once I reach like $2,000 a week, I'm like, okay, I need help and I want to make sure I don't mess this up. Like, I want to make sure I don't mess this up because
right.
I'm still learning. Like,
okay.
I'm still learning. So I want to make sure I have people on my team who I can trust and who also has the experience to help assist with this, to keep this going.
Right.
So that's when I started hiring help.
So you say once you got to like $1,500,
$2,000 a week.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Got you. What's yeah. the most that you've gotten to during?
Weekly.
Weekly.
So I have cleared close to $2,500.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got you.
Come on. But I pour everything back into my business. So the number wise, I don't even really look at it like that because everything is going literally back into my business.
Gotcha. Do you know how much you've done total for the whole year?
For the whole year, I cleared 90,000.
Okay.
Yep. I pulled the numbers. It was 90,000.
And that's clear. That's all profit.
That's all profit.
Okay.
And
so that's when I realized about 40,000 more than you made as an officer.
Hello. So
Okay.
I say that all the time. I'm like, oh my God, like I really did this.
Okay. Awesome.
It's still a shock to me, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm just
awesome.
Trying to keep it, like keep a state.
Yeah, for sure. All right, cool. So I think we pretty much covered it. Is there anything that I left out that you want to add? Like anything else that you're working on that you have going on that you kind of want to put out there?
Yeah, so we just launched Truckers Brew.
Okay.
May 7th was our anniversary.
Truckers
one
Brew.
Year.
All right, what's that about?
So Truckers Brew, I read a lot, so I see the accidents that take place in the trucking industry and things like that. Drivers having a hard time staying up. The lifestyle, they're not really living a healthy lifestyle because they're always on the road, so they might grab a burger and things like that. So I wanted to come up with a brand that can help be a solution to that.
Okay.
So Truckers Brew is herbal teas. I sell to the drivers and owner-operators when they're on the road, that they have something to drink on that is, you know, healthy and helps them stay up and things like that. So
okay.
That's what we just dropped on May 7th.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Truckers Brew, huh?
Truckers Brew.
All right, mm-hmm. So what does it come in, like a can or like a bottle?
It comes in a bag.
Like a tea. Mm-hmm. Tea bag. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Yep. So it's not like a Snapple or something. It's like an actual tea bag.
It's a tea bag.
Yep. Put it in water,
so you
hot
go to
water.
Truck stops, hot water, shake okay. it up, add a little honey, add a little sugar.
And it'll help keep you up and all that, mm-hmm. but naturally.
Naturally.
All right, that's interesting. Truckers Brew. All right, cool. All right, well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Continuing
as an entrepreneur and just building on the brand.
Thank you.
I love it. All right, cool. All right, well, listen, this has been dope. We always have to wrap with the final thought, mm-hmm. right? And then we have to let everybody know where to connect with you at mm-hmm. Prosper Logistics. So final thought is just anything like spiritual or anything educational, whatever. Mm-hmm. Come from the heart, just kind of what you want to leave the audience with. And then let everybody know where they can learn more about Prosper Logistics and learn more about you personally.
Okay, so I'll go with spiritual first. Always keep God first and just know, put all your trust in Him. Pray. It's going to be okay. Even if you're down bad, it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. Everything's going to be aligned on His time, not your time. And then continue to educate yourself. Don't stop learning. I'm always looking what conference I can attend, who can I connect network with in the industry to learn more. So just continue to educate yourself. Keep God first. Seek other opportunities for your drivers. Just don't stay in one lane. Seek other opportunities.
Okay. And where can the people learn more about Prosper Logistics and learn more about you personally?
Okay, so we are on Instagram. The Instagram is _prosper_logistics. So I post everything on there. Things that we have going on, our driver success, driver of the month. We give out driver of the month that's posted and things like that. So the Instagram is the best platform to follow to keep up with
Prosper
Logistics.
Okay, you said it's _prosper_logistics?
_prosper_logistics.
All right, mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, Hustle Fam, if you can't respect that, your whole perspective is whack. You know what we do around this time. If you smell something burning, it's only your desire. Myself and Kyra King from Prosper Logistics, we out.
Scammer?
Girl, I wrote a book. Literally, yes, I wrote a whole freaking book because that happened for me. That happened to me, y'all, for real. I found out that my daughter is baby number 8.
You can sit down and we need to get this on the show.
I'm for real.
This is crazy.
Because that's why I was like, it's deep. Like, it's really, really deep. Like, I went to work because I work downtown for the city of Atlanta. And I went to work one day and I was telling them, I was doing my dispatching. I was working at the city of Atlanta. And I was letting them know, like, oh my God, what I'm going to do? Like, what I'm going to do? This is not enough. I have a baby on the way. And they were like, after I told them the story, all the officers was like, yo, what the fuck? This is like some Madea stuff. Like, yeah. I wish I knew somebody that worked for Tyler Perry. One of the officers was like, I do. And I swear to God, I said, stop lying. He was like, yeah, my brother-in-law and his wife worked for Tyler Perry. They actresses and actors for Tyler Perry. I said, stop fucking lying. Call him right now. He called him and he was like, yo, you got to hear this story. Like, this girl just went through the freaking worst. Like, she up here pregnant. She one of our victim services advocates and everything like that. Right. So I got on the phone with him and I was like, you work for Tyler Perry? before I tell you about me. Like, and he was like, yeah, his wife is Rachel Palmer. She do Sisters for BET with Tyler Perry, and they just started their own little production company, but they still act for Tyler Perry and stuff. They just moved down here from Philly, and he was like, I want you to write your story from beginning and to end, and I want you to send it to me. And I did, and he was like, we're going to produce your story.
That's crazy. Yep. So where did you meet this dude?
Like, at the gym. No, like, I didn't meet him online. I did not. Like, I swear to God, I did not. They were like, where you meet him at? It was like a love story, y'all. I was at the gym getting my smoothie, just worked out, and he was walking out, and we just locked eyes, and he was just, he didn't speak to me when he walked out. He just walked out, we locked eyes, I'll get my smoothie, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'm about to go. So I walk out, and he was parked right there. He was like, you just so beautiful. Can I just please take you? And he was fine. I ain't gonna lie, he was fine. I'm like, okay, shoot, yeah. Like, you can take me out. You find us on the way, you know. And then we just was stuck to the hip from there. So yeah. I never really he lied about how many kids he had and everything. Like, I just found out the truth, but I knew it was some red flags, you know, because sometimes he'll be a little controlling and stuff and things like that. But I was just thinking like a little typical little dummy, like, oh, okay, he must really like care about me or something like that. But then when that bank called me, man, I told that man, I said, did you put stuff in my name? Yeah, man, we married, we won. I said, oh, hell no, I don't play. I didn't got jugged. I was like, dang, man. So my family from, I'm from Chicago. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So all my family's still up there. Yeah. So they all just flew down here. Said, what? So the story get worse, y'all. So I'm like, it's funny now. It's funny now, though. Look, it gets worse. Look, it gets worse. So, and I'm just going to be in the, y'all going to see it's going to come out. Like, they doing the trailer in Miami. I get to pick who played me. My name going to be Kyra. Yes. Like, trucking has been a blessing, but now my story has, because everybody just like, how the fuck are you still here? Like, but I was real depressed, y'all. I was pregnant with my daughter. I was sad. Like, I was in the room, like, I can't off myself because I'm pregnant. And I got a son, you know, this is not spiritual to do that. You know what I'm saying? But I was really like, I went through 3 counselors. I was going to therapy, everything. Nothing was working for me. Like, nothing was working for me. My business is what keep me going still to this day. Like, long as I'm making money, I'm good. As long as my kids straight, I'm good. But so I told my family, I said, Ma, I'm going to have to pay you back. It was just 1 week after the wedding. I said, I'm going to have to pay you back. I'm going to have to give you back that money. She was like, what, Kai? I said, I'm over $100,000 in debt of car loans. And she know I pay for my car cash. So she's like, what the fuck? She was like, so I told her. I was like, yeah, like, the bank called me, such and such and such, such. It broke her heart. She was like, really? So I told my dad, and my dad is like an ex-felon and stuff. Like, my mom is like bougie and things like that. And my daddy is like straight ratchet. So I don't know how, you know what I'm saying? I'm a mixture of both of them. So I'm classy, and then I can get real, you know. I guess that's the mix. So I told him, so she tried to go up to his job, you know, and I guess check him or whatever, like a week later, because he stopped coming to the house and everything. Kind of found out he got fired from the job for stealing from them. Stealing people identity from he got fired. And I didn't know he got fired. He had been gotten fired. So when he leaving for work every day, he was going wherever else he was going. Yep, with his next pregnant. He got a baby now. My daughter only, 10 months? He got a baby that's like 2 months now.
And you said the whole family is
the whole family is Scott. Yes, the mama was having, it was red flags, y'all. The mama said she was a preacher, and we would go to her little church in her living room, and it'll only be her sons and their girlfriends and their family, and she'll be, give a donation. God is good. God is good. That was a red flag, but I'm like, maybe this is a different type of church. Like, I don't know, but the investigator found out she got 17 identities. Yeah, so it just, the whole family is fraud, man. I'm going to keep y'all updated.
Tell them at the end of the movie, to zoom in on you telling your story just like this and have Ramel hosting.
Yeah, man, let me tell you, the whole time I'm like, man, I want people, because this really was narcissistic abuse, to be honest with you. And a lot of women go through that, and they don't be knowing what it is.
Yeah.
Man, I educated myself on all that. I was like, dang, I was a victim. Yeah. I was like narcissistic abuse. Yes, that, you know, they love bomb you, make it seem like, you know, they all in love with you, the usual. I mean, I was not his first victim. I was like number 7, number 8.
He had a lot of crap,
yeah, he on to the next
he
one.
Was holding mm-hmm. his crap.
Yep, yeah. We went to court and everything. Girl, I filed charges, forgery, because he's forged my signature. I literally was going against everything, and then they were trying to take me down because we was married.
Right.
So they're like, you knew. I'm like, nah, I didn't.
Right.
I did not know.
And we got married in March, and we were supposed to sign the marriage certificate in April. But mind you, the bank called me a week later, so we didn't sign. So technically, I never married them. We just had the ceremony first. That's what saved me. I said, well, technically, we're not married. And I'm 6 months pregnant. I'm high risk because every month, it was something wrong with that little girl because I was so stressed. It was something wrong with her every month. Even the last month, they told me she was going to be stillborn. You know, it was just something wrong with her. Every month, her cord wasn't centered in the umbilical cord. She wasn't gaining. It was just retarded. You know what I'm saying? I bled out real bad at 3 months. It was just always something. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going through this, knowing that the man I married is a fraud. My daughter is sick as hell in my womb. I can't get no abortion. It's too late. You know, I was dealing with all this, and I saw Alex's video show up on that screen. I said, look, Lord, something got to work. Something got to work. That's why every time I link up, when I go to these conferences and stuff, and I see him, I be like, you have no idea. That video coming across my screen has done for my life because I don't know what I was going to do, y'all. Because law enforcement don't pay. I mean, come on, 6 weeks is like, that's, you got to be in the ranks to get that, you know? So it was crazy. So now a year later, I just had, on May 7th, I just had a whole like huge, big gala for celebrating my 1 year. My carriers came. I gave them awards, you know, because everybody is so cool. Everybody that who I dispatch for is so cool. Like, they love me because I'm just cool. Like, I just let them know. Even if it's, like, a week, they be like, Kyle, we need this, da-da-da-da. We able to have that relationship and say, okay, well, I got you. You know, it's, we good. You know, we make it work. You know, I'm coming down on my percentage. You know, I know the gas is, you know, we make it work because that's how I get paid by them. So, it just worked, y'all. It just worked. And I'm so thankful. Like, I'm so thankful because last year I was like, this is so ghetto.
Did you ever get like the debt and everything cleared?
Yes. I fought for my life. I fought for my life. I went to the dealership pregnant. I walked in there because the white man, he kept calling me talking about, we got to pay the money. And I'm sorry, I don't like white in here. But like, so he was like, y'all responsible. You responsible. I'm like, nah. So I walked in there one day. I was pregnant. I walked in there. I said, you know what? I can't be no woman. I can't. And I don't have time to feel bad for myself. Right. I don't have time to be sad, heartbroken, crying. I don't have time. Even though I was, I had to get out of this because $100,000, come on. Car loans, come on. And I never had no debt. And I didn't do it, right? Man, I walked in there. I said, I'm going to sue you. I walked in there. I said, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue this dealership if y'all do not clear this thing up right now. I said, I didn't sign for it. I said, pull the cameras on that date that the loan was signed and see if I came in there. I said, I did not come in there. I was married to this man. I married this man. You knew I did. I said, but I did not sign no paperwork. I didn't do any of that. And I'll take you to court. I said, I hired a lawyer. I ain't even hiring a lawyer at the time, but I was just talking shit. I was like, I was like, look, I hired a lawyer. I'm high risk. And I really was high risk pregnancy because my daughter was tripping the whole pregnancy. And I was like, I'm high risk. I said, my daughter can die. Like, I this is too much. I just want this cleared. He was like, well, just give me a day. I said, I you don't got no day. Right. I said, you don't got no day. I need this cleared now because I was in the process of buying a home. Right. You know what I'm saying? And you know how it is buying a home. You got to send this, send that. What's this? Now this done popped up. It was so bad, y'all. I was like, oh my God, God, what the freak did I do? So that was coming up. The lender was telling me she saw that on the credit, and it was just like that delayed it. Long story, I bought my house, y'all. I got my house. Kids. I'm good. Okay. Yeah. But even with that, the house, me and him had bought a house together, but we used my money because he made up a lie. I was a red flag too. And it was on his credit. So I just did a down payment because we were supposed to go half, but then he told me he got caught up in some stuff. So I ended up having to, man, when all this stuff came out, I moved out the house or whatever like that. That man sold the house cash, offered, and give me anything. Nothing. Don't check on my daughter, no, nothing. Like, the first time he saw her was when she was 6 months and we was in court. Yeah. Baby. Monster.
And this
monster.
All transpired. Like, what was the time?
All line? This was.
Like, a year?
Yes. All this, me building the business. This is how it happened. It just ended. Like, it just ended and I just took off. Like, literally. Wow. Yes. I lost money. My credit was messed up. Man, I walked in there with that woman. I said, write me a check. I said, if you don't want me, my lawyer, to get on this, because I said, you know that. I said, y'all won't pull those cameras. I said, I even got a copy from the bank of the loan. I had all my stuff together. You know, I had to get back in detective mode. Right. I was like, this. You know, that man wrote me a $100,000 check right there. He wrote me a $100,000 check. He said, I get it off your credit. And I gave it right to the bank. And they cleared it off my credit. And I was able to. So God was in the midst of all this too. Like, I was having some real mental issues at the point. But then God come right in like, okay, well, now that's cleared off your credit. Now you got your house. Like, mm-hmm. Yep. The car that he bought, I mean, he was stealing from me, buying me stuff. I'm thinking, I'm like, I got the best man in the world. I'm just getting jugged every day. Like he bought me like a new Audi, used somebody else's information to get it. So when I found out that the Audi was that, they took the Audi from me. I got in an accident, realized there was no insurance. The car wasn't even registered. I was going to work and pregnant. And I mean, everything happened out. Literally, she did that little girl. That's why she's so special to me. Because we went through all that at the same. It was so bad, y'all. It was so bad. But now it's just, okay, I'm good now. I done got out of it. I done bought my house. Me and my kids, we good. My business going good. They got my story. That's in the works. Like, you know, I just want to help the next young lady. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to get, that's going to be her 16th birthday gift is my book. Because I want, you know, that's why I was like, I'm scared of the teenage stage. You know, they started liking boys and all that. I'm just like, Lord, and I got a daughter now out of this. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But now I just don't want the generation thing to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you can't be your daughter's friend. It's not that you're her friend, but you want to be that person that she can talk to, go to, because if she doesn't, she's going to get information
from everybody. Yep, yep.
Yeah, so that's
the best. We definitely going to have an open relationship because I need to know everything. I need to know what's going in and what's going out.
Yeah.
Seriously. Seriously. Like,
what's the name of the book?
So it's After the Pain.
After the Pain?
After the Pain.
Okay.
It's a memoir.
If you make it a series, what would you name the TV series? Have you thought about that yet?
I ain't thought about all that because honestly, the way that they're doing it, like y'all ever seen the Four Color Girls?
Yeah.
So it's actually going to be something like that. Okay. And Kyra's going to be one of the characters. It's
so like different stories that come together.
Yeah, like they all going to hire this one lady to either assassinate their husband or like they have their husband be tortured or something. You could pick. And you hire this lady named Miss K. And Miss K, you let her know, I want my husband assassinated. Like, and I told them I want them to assassinate my guy. You know, it's like, yeah, because that's the only way I can live through it. Like, you know, because I mean, he's going on. He's like, he has another baby. That's like, he got a little girl. She ain't even one.
That's a shame.
She turned one in August. Yeah, she's baby number eight.
That's eight. But you know what? They're like, narcissists are programmed to not even care. It's all about
the now one. He's a girl, not nothing. Nothing. Lied to the police. I mean, it was, I was literally fighting for my life, y'all. Literally. And I kept it a secret for like a week. Like after they called me, like another week, I said, I got to tell my family because I got to leave out this house. Because he stopped coming to the house.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. And then I didn't tell y'all. So the cars had to be recovered, right? So I'm like, well, I had all the cars information. So I'm up here like, okay, well, let me report the car stolen. Right. You know what I'm saying? Let me report them stolen. So they mine, you know?
Technically,
y'all, the car, they found the car on a high-speed chase in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh,
the police was on the phone with me. I'm behind your car. Do you want us to continue or do you? Because he was saying, because I used to be a cop, so I know when you, certain states they can chase, certain counties and states, right, you cannot chase because of liability. You hurt somebody else, you're responsible. So he was saying, we can chase, but the liability of us chasing, if anything had happened, that's, you know what I'm saying? He's on the phone with me while I'm hearing them behind the car. So I'm like, just stop. Because usually when you behind a car, a stolen car, now that suspect know that you behind a stolen car, they're going to ditch it. And that's what they did. He called me an hour later and he was like, we found the truck. That man, I mean, it's just, I don't know, y'all. Like, it is
absolutely insane.
Girl.
I'll be watching. When it comes, I will be
yeah, yes. They doing a trailer in Miami. They paying for me to go down there, pick who gonna play me. It's, yeah.
If you twisted, confused, or stuck about trucks, don't be dumb. This is the place to come. Truck and Hustle. Let's go!